service.
I snap awake in the morning with my phone alarm going off. Shit, I fell asleep with it in my hand and now it's almost out of battery. It's gonna die at school today. That is, if I live long enough to see school today. I have to go downstairs and face my parents after running away for the weekend. My survival is questionable. Sleep on my meds was like a thick blanket of forgetting about all this. But it's all coming flooding back. When I went to bed, Marco had just started beefing with me on social media over my bailing on the crew to take the trip. How do I respond? I opened my social apps and noticed something I didn't think about. Another wave of new follows. The weekend at Viral Villa is over, and I've absorbed a lot of the follows I'm gonna get from the kids I met there. But I'm still getting growth. From where? From Marco. The beef is bringing me fresh followers too. That's what's weird about the whole viral sensation life. I'm realizing, drama turns people into internet celebrities. The fight breaking out between me and Marco after I'm all over the Viral Villa's feeds all weekend, it's infectious. For a second, I even think that playing this feud out over social media might please Marco, help us gain more clout. We would gain new followers and we can smooth things over in public. It's great for our brand. So why do I feel so shitty? A quick look at my comments reminds me why. Marco's fans have started a petition to cancel me. Some of these clowns are calling me a traitor, like they aren't following influencers and wishing they could live the influencer life themselves. It pisses me off because they just don't know the whole story. There were so many questions in the comments asking me how I could do my boy like that. The question is valid. I did cut Marco out of the weekend at the villa for my own gain. Damn, I am reckless. I shut my phone away just as it dies. I'll deal with this stuff later. Still in the half-awake blur, I get ready for school and eventually face the moment of truth. I head downstairs to meet my parents in the kitchen. What I walk into isn't what I'm expecting. I come in with a solemn face, which plays, right? But I'm still not getting read the riot act the way I thought I'd get last night. Instead, Mom and Dad are very quiet. Dad's holding Mom's hand. She's holding a letter I left in my bedroom explaining to them what I'd done. I sit silently, and Mom reads the letter.
Dear Mom and Dad, I know you don't understand how crucial this moment is for me, and I don't want to break your trust, but I can't let this window of opportunity slip by me again. Gone to Viral Villa. I'll be back Monday. Sorry in advance.
Her hand is shaking, holding the paper as she finishes.
Sorry in fucking advance.
Okay, finally. Here comes the riot act. The mood in the room turns on a dot as my parents start, rightfully, wilding out.
Do you understand what a fundamental breach of trust this is? This is some bullshit, Reuben.
This is so unlike you, Reuben. It is concerning.
What kind of place is this that would even have you there for the weekend without clearing it with your mother and father?
Yep.
Or your legal guardians, for that matter.
Not even a consent form in sight. I looked at your posts. Were you drinking and doing drugs?
What the fuck are you trying to tell us, Reuben? All right, is it your new school? Do you miss your old friends?
You have never behaved like this before. We didn't raise you to be like this.
Enough! Enough! I'm sorry that I scared you like that and lied to you when I left that morning. But you have to look at it from my side. I had just come clean to you about the podcast project and how great it's going, and still you're punishing me like I'm a little kid. All of this anxiety shit, maybe some of that comes from your helicopter parenting. I had to take a stand for what I want to do with my life. Not just follow your orders all the damn time.
And how was your anxiety on that plane when you were sneaking off to Cali?
Reuben, how has your anxiety been?
My mom is furious. That was a low blow. But my dad asking how I've been feeling deflates some of the tension in the room. I have to be truthful now.
I've been good. Great, even, when I'm working on the podcast. And that includes while I was away. It's come back strong now that I'm back. And Marco's mad at me. My anxiety is all over the place.
Marco's mad at you? For what?
Yeah, he wanted to go in my place since you wouldn't let me. Since I went anyway, he feels screwed over. I know I'm gonna be grounded, but I'd like to have him over to squash our beef if you're okay with it.
We'll talk about it. But you're damn right you're grounded, indefinitely.
I nod. No complaining. Take the punishment like a soldier this time.
Good. And don't you even for a minute think we are done talking about this just because you're being punished. You're getting off easy. This was completely beyond the pale.
I understand.
And we'll discuss this during dinner tonight. You'll be at this damn table talking to your parents who love you deeply. We love you despite your dumb decisions. Now go to school and not the airport.
Saved by the bell. That was tough. But I feel like I've stood my ground. I may be on lockdown again, but the punishment was inevitable. I know my parents are hurt, but my message came through loud and clear. I can't just be quiet, obedient Reuben anymore. I'm making adult moves for myself. So I'm feeling myself as I rush down blocks and through train stations. Dad wondered if my acting out had to do with my new school. But the irony is, I'm really feeling the vibe at Booker T. And especially now that things with Marco and at home are in shambles, getting back to school will be the biggest slice of normalcy in my life. Except, surprise, when I get there, the story of my runaway weekend to LA is already circling everywhere. I can hear people buzzing about me in the halls. Guys come up to my locker and give me dap. A bunch of my new followers from the weekend are probably my classmates here at Booker T. And before all this went down, Janelle had been spreading my rep at school. Speaking of, hey, Janelle.
Hey, Reuben. How are you?
I'm all right. You know, maintaining.
How are things at home?
She looks at me with knowing eyes, but doesn't bring up the breach with Marco right away. Grounded indefinitely. No surprises there. How many artists do we need to record still to complete the season?
We need 3 more to hit our 10-episode goal. We still have Bina Rodeau in the can.
Right. Sounds like it's back to recording on my phone in my closet again.
Actually, I had an idea about that.
I realize she's led me past the Audio Lab classroom to the Audio Lab studio space. It's a pretty polished setup. I haven't really got to explore it yet.
We should record the rest of the interviews in here. Here Comes the Break is our semester project now. So we can get access to the studio, and your parents have to be okay with it, even if we schedule the studio time after school hours. You know, it's homework. Plus, obviously, we up our production value this way. No more recording interviews in your bedroom.
Damn, Janelle. I'm lucky to have you on my side.
Speaking of which, I saw that Marco called you out and sent his followers after you.
Oh, yeah, you know. I'll find some way to smooth it over with him. We've known each other forever. It'll all settle down.
I don't know, man. He seems really hurt.
You don't think maybe he's playing it up for the extra attention online? I mean, my followers are exploding.
What? No, definitely not. I could show you his text to me from this weekend. He's serious.
It's just been such a strange few days. I feel like I can't see straight. I'm blowing up on social media. Everyone at school thinks I'm dope, but Marco thinks I'm a dick and my parents are freaking out. I can't figure out whether to feel bad about what I did or proud. Should I clap back at Marco on social for the hits, or will that make things worse?
Are you really concerned about your followers and not your friendship? Reuben, come on, be real here. You're letting this viral fame go to your head. Do you really want my opinion?
Yes, Yana, fix my life.
You should feel bad. Okay, what you did was selfish and it makes my job 10 times harder. You're getting high on your own supply with all this new attention and it's making you forget where you came from. Okay, I don't agree with Marco airing out our dirty laundry on the internet, but you need to get him under control and back on board. He's part of the team. He's the reason the podcast even existed in the first place. Meet with him face to face and talk. Own your shit, Reuben.
Her words are like a splash of ice water to the face. She's right. I have been letting all this internet success go to my head.
Was I seriously contemplating clapping back at Marco online? I need to make peace with him like an adult. I've got to get my parents okay for him to come over so we could talk things over.
All right, we should get to class. I'm going to play Bino's interview as a progress report for the project.
We leave the audio lab and head back down the hallway. But my mind can't stop drifting to Marco and my parents. Even as we take our turn at the front of the room as Janelle plays episode 7 of Here Comes the Break for the class.
Tell our listeners, who is Bino Rideau?
Yeah, Bino Rideau is just your average South Central kid, really. I'm really tapped in more into the street side of things. I still move around like shit is normal. I feel like I can't really shake that. I feel like I gotta kind of watch that. But my testimony is anybody can do this shit. If you want it bad enough, it can get done. And the proof is, you know what I'm saying, I'm just like you. So it really ain't much to me. I'm just doing what I love. I'm just the vibe, you know?
Word. Why is it important for you to be still rooted in your community?
It's important to me because that's how my big bro Nipsey was. And so I feel like he's a major part of my foundation. So it would be wrong of me to not try to carry on the legacy in a way that he would respect. You feel me?
I feel you. Can you talk a little on Nipsey Hussle and what his legacy means to you?
It's everything. Nipsey is like the whole basis. He was the whole voice of my city. He was the voice of reason. And he reached out to me. And, you know, I would always say if I had to collab with an artist, it would be Nipsey. That made the most sense. But him reaching out and feeling him daily, just kind of in the studio, it was always surreal. It never felt normal, but it always felt organic. I don't understand it to this day what he saw in me, but I'm happy to play the role I played, for sure.
What did you learn from Nipsey about how to navigate the music industry?
That's exactly what I learned, how to navigate. Being around Nip off GP, if you leave from Nipsey, you learn something. Like, you're going to learn something without him trying to teach you nothing. It's just so much game within him. Just the way he carries himself, the way he speak, the shit he say. It's just, I don't know. It's hard not to come out of there with some new knowledge. It's just so natural. It come off so easy. So it was a blessing to be able to sit there and soak that up. And I call him a cheat code, for sure.
And he was really about uplifting the community. What is your thing that you're passionate about now that you're gaining your own success?
You know, I started to do my little share of charity here and there. And it's really a good feeling to know that people can depend on you and come through when they need you in the clutch. And, you know, I'm really enjoying that. So really, the community is kind of what's keeping me going. I do this for, you know, not only the Crenshaw District, but the whole city. It's major for the whole city, so however I could come through.
Okay. How has your city influenced you musically?
You know, they used to tell me I ain't sounding like I was from L.A. You know, I get that a lot. So I don't really put a limit or a cap on my music as far as regions. I think I'm just more off the vibe, but I get, oh, it's the new Nate Dogg, or it's the new, I get that a lot. And that's amazing to me to even get that comparison, or for that to even resonate in somebody's mind listening to my music. I happily carry that.
Can you give young artists advice on what to keep in mind when pursuing a major label?
I would say don't focus so much on pursuing a major label. We are chasing something so above average, so out of the norm, 1 in a million. We are chasing this one thing, so you gotta understand that you're gonna go through terrible ass shit. You feel me? But you know, you just gotta keep steady, keep a level head. Like, shit get bad, it's hell trying to get there. But you just gotta keep that in mind and be willing. I feel like willpower is the name of the game when it comes to this shit, for sure. But don't focus so much on majors, focus on yourself.
Wow. And was there ever a period in your life where you just felt like giving up or you were frustrated?
Hell yeah. The day before I dropped 6 Tape with Blast, I told my homie, I'm like, man, who's in Houston? I'm like, bro, if this don't, like, go, if I ain't feeling the way after I've dropped this, I don't know, bro. I gotta go figure something out, back to the street. And, yeah, it kind of did what it did. But for sure, you're gonna doubt this shit. You're gonna quit and all that, but that's when the willpower come into play.
So willpower is how you deal with those anxieties.
You know, I got terrible anxiety. That's something that I for sure battle with. I feel like a lot of artists battle with that.
What advice would you give to other young people facing anxiety?
I would tell them, thinking too much. If you want to do it, you have to do it now. Once you understand that you have to get the job done, regardless of how you're feeling, people at 9 to 5, they dealing with anxiety. They still got to get their job done.
What do you want your legacy to be? How do you want people to remember you?
I for sure want to be a legend. I'm trying to be known for all the positive shit.
Respect.
I want to definitely make whatever the change may be, a big change in something. I want to go down for drastically changing something in the world.
We'll be right back. And now, back to the show.
I come home from school and realize that I am mentally exhausted. The conversation with Janelle in the Audio Lab studio really made me check myself. I see why DMX never returned to Eon Must Fix My Life. When I come in the door, my mom's already home. Not normal. She's holding a shoebox in her hands. Gently. Like it's something precious.
Reuben, I want to show you something.
Without another word, she opens the lid and starts taking out Polaroid photos. This is super vintage. I've never seen any of them before. They're of her, of course, but before she knew Dad, before she had settled down to start a family, she's dancing. She passed the couch next to her and I come over and sit down.
Reuben, I don't think we've ever talked about how badly I wanted to be a dancer when I was younger. I wanted to attend the Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater. Debbie Allen, ooh, was my muse. You couldn't tell me that I wasn't going to choreograph videos for Paula Abdul, Janet Jackson, or Missy Elliott. It was all I thought about. And I trained hard for years. My parents loved that I had such a passion for the art. It wasn't something they expected to turn into a career for me, but they were very supportive that I was so focused on it.
I suddenly know how shocked my parents felt to find my letter. My mom was a dancer? Why wasn't this something we talked about growing up?
When I wanted to go to college for dance, I don't know, something changed. Your grandfather was very wary of me going into such a hard profession. He wanted me to have a backup plan, or better yet, focus on something more practical. As you know, your grandpa is big on academics, and I don't know, it was different. I was the first kid on my side of the family to be able to get into a prestigious school. You know, I understood where my parents were coming from, but it was difficult to not pursue my dreams of becoming a dancer. Your grandfather and I couldn't see eye to eye about art and dance for a long, long time. I mean, it was the same reason we pulled you from the limelight when your video went viral. I didn't want you to lose sight of what's important, which is your education.
If you've been through all this, why the same thing with me then? I have always put my education first. You and Dad raised me to strive for excellence in school and in life. I took that same attitude and launched our podcast. I need you and Dad to have my back.
We're not afraid of you having a career in the arts or digital media or anything like that, but it isn't the same media we grew up with. It's a jungle out there, especially for people of color. When you went viral at such a young age, oh God, we panicked and went with what we thought was the safest. Our job is to protect you. I didn't want any trolls or cyberbullies coming after my child.
It's surreal to hear my mother be real with me about my early shot at fame. I feel like we're finally talking to each other as adults, not parent to kid. I suddenly remember the sympathetic look I caught from her when she and Dad first find out about the pod. And it makes so much more sense now. She did believe in me, but she wanted to protect me. Just like the Vine days. And my baggage about the Vine days led to me sneaking around and running away. So now even if they want to support me, I've made it that much harder.
Ben, I want you to really hear me out. When you brought up your Vine account, your father and I were really surprised. We haven't thought about that in years. We do want to support your podcast, but you have to open up to us about how you're feeling and what you're doing. If any of our choices and how to raise you led you to believe we aren't proud of you for what you've accomplished, you know that was never our intent. We love you and we believe in you.
I sit with the weight of what she shared for a long moment. It feels like there's nothing for me to say. Other than lighten the mood. Damn, Mom, why didn't you tell me you wanted to be a fly girl?
I was... Oh, to be honest, honey, it's very painful to talk about.
I did try to study dance in college for about a year, but I eventually caved and pursued my parents' dreams for me.
So you really do understand where I'm coming from?
I can relate to a point. This doesn't excuse what you've done. We want to support you in your goals, but you have to let us in. Don't let frustrations like the ones you have around Vine get in the way.
At that moment, my father comes home. He comes and joins us in the living room.
Did you have the talk?
In progress.
Reuben, do you understand why we have to hold our ground on this? We get it. We really get it. But you can't pull stunts like you did this past weekend. It's a spit in the face. We're still your parents.
I don't even have to say it out loud. They can see it in my eyes, my body language. Finally, I do understand. I don't hold it against them that they're punishing me. And I'm prepared to work around the grounding for podcast recording. It feels fair. The low-down dirty truth is that even with the extended grounding of Janelle's reality check at school today, the weekend at Viral Villa still feels like a win. It's brought a bigger audience to my social accounts, to the podcast, and now I finally feel like my parents and I have broken through the emotional wall that was making things so hard. Deep down, I still think I made the right call in going. I can hold my head up high, take my hits like a man.
So, every day, you come home right after school, no going out on weekends. We'll see if you keep your grades up at the end of the semester. We'll revisit it then. You got that?
Yes, sir. Oof. End of the semester is pretty harsh, but gotta keep this stoic acceptance vibe going. And I need to get permission to have Marco over, or I have no hope of burying the hatchet. I gotta ask you for one exception. Marco's pretty pissed at me, and I'd really like to invite him over here to smooth things out. Is that okay with you?
We'll consider it based on good behavior. Now is not the time for you to be asking for favors.
Maybe we can trade you.
What do you mean?
There's another condition to getting out of your grounding. Reuben, this was very unlike you. You really scared us.
I'm wondering if it might have been, well, a manic episode.
Oh, what?
Now, I'm not worried about putting some label on it, okay? But your father and I agree. We want you to go back to seeing a therapist, like when you were younger. I'm going to book you an appointment for next week. You start going to therapy. We'll let Marco come over so you two can make up.
At the mention of seeing a therapist, a wave of conflicted feelings rises back up to the surface, and I have to fight hard to suppress it. This was going so well. More authorities? New medications? Straitjackets and pill bottles dance through my head. It feels like any therapist I see is going to interrogate me about running away. I don't want to go. I haven't been in years. But I know at this point, I don't really have a choice. Okay, yeah, it's a trade. Book me an appointment.
And now, an exclusive track from Bino Rideau.
Nigga,
Here Comes the Break is produced by Double Elvis in partnership with iHeartRadio. Executive produced by Def Jam Recordings. Executive produced by and starring Asante Black as Ruben. Produced by Daniela Perkins, who plays Janelle. Bobby Sias as Marco. Christopher V. Edwards as Dad. Rami Cornell as Mom. And Taylor Bettinson. Written by Taylor Bettinson and Nakia Hill. Artist interviews conducted by Nakia Hill. Directed by Christopher V. Edwards. Mixed and edited by Matt Tahaney. Sound recording by Colin Fleming. Music elements and production by Ryan Spraker. Additional production support by Jamie Demas. Executive produced by Jake Brennan and Brady Sadler for Double Elvis. Special thanks to Oren Rosenbaum, Shelby Shankman, Sarah Kowaney, and Jordan Gorelick at United Talent Agency, Beck Media and Marketing, Barack Muffet at Universal Music Group, Rich Isaacson, Lynn Gonzalez, Charlene Thomas, Marissa Pizarro, Gabriel Cesariero, Jessica Manarino, and Naya Fleming at Def Jam Recordings, and Connell Byrne, Carrie Lieberman, Will Pearson, Noel Brown, and the entire iHeartMedia team. To hear bonus content, meet the cast, and go behind the scenes of Here Comes the Break, follow with Double Elvis on Instagram or visit doubleelvis.com.